Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here at 64th Berlinale, and today we are with Michael Persbrandt, main protagonist of Someone You Love. So, Michael, what encouraged you to sing?
What encouraged me to sing? The director. Because it was not on my agenda. But the script demanded it, and I asked her to take a Danish actor that could sing. I mean, it's not my expression. It was really kind of a scary experience in the beginning, but very lovely in the end. It's a cool expression, actually. But I was not used to it, and I'm not the singing type, so it was totally new for me. I've done it on stage occasionally, but really not like this with an electric microphone and orchestra. So it was a daring project for me. It was really.
Is it difficult to play a character that is quite unpleasant? He's not very loving person.
No, not for me. I like him very much. I can understand him and relate to him. He's not a mean character, you know. It's like. He locked himself in. Then your ways with people can be what you could call mean, but he's not a mean person. He's not a psychopath or sociopath.
No, he's very difficult for his surroundings.
Yeah, most of us are, in different ways.
I'm very curious by the fact that it seems that we're watching someone that exists, you know, a rock star that actually exists, whereas, you know, the process probably is completely fictitious. So I'm very curious to hear when was the first time that you met with Peniel and you sat down and said, okay, let's make a rock star out of nothing.
Yeah, well, when she approached me in Stockholm, I said that was an impossible project, of course. To change the gun and the knife to a microphone is a hard work. Then we started to work together to try to discuss what kind of artist and singer he would be. And then she gave me a lot of material, and she put the pie together, and it suits me very fine. So she made it.
Which part did you add to the character that relates to your kind of nightlife?
I've been living for 50 years, and I could relate to the character's problems. And it's fortunate to get older as an actor, because you can use your own life. That's the only shit you have. Otherwise, you have to make up and make believe. But I can use what I've been through, and you know, I can use it in this movie. And the movies I get now, they tend to be about grown-ups struggling to find a way to continue life with. And I can totally understand that.
You're very well known in Germany. Do you ever feel typecasted for particular roles?
No. For the last 5 years, I've only done dramas and one Western movie. Two action movies as well, but no. No, well, typecasting, actually, I don't give a fuck.
Sure.
That's a problem of the producers and directors then. But she wouldn't call me if she tried to typecast me as a rock singer.
Thomas's process to actually, you know, break down those barriers that he, you know, that he put up to kind of protect himself from himself and also the surrounding. The process is painstakingly slow. You know, all through the film, you think that it's gonna burst, but it's like you always like little by little, and there's sort of tension growing.
Yeah.
You always had in mind this kind of approach to your character. Or maybe Peniel also told you to kind of always get some sort of accents, but not really go for the full blow.
I think both me and Peniel and Trina, sorry, I interrupted.
No, I'll just do it.
We work with small measurements and small tools. We don't like it to do it too big. And I think there's a common film taste, movie taste we have, to work with small meanings.
What I was actually wanted to ask about is
a good director don't tell you too much.
Don't tell too much.
Bad directors, they talk all the time.
But what
don't
I mean,
do to them. Then you can do it back.
What I'm curious is actually what happens to an actor when the director doesn't want to tell too much. You and your character during the production, during actually the shooting, did you keep Thomas always in you, or you manage as an actor to kind of like, you know, that's it, the scene is done, I'm out of that kind of tension?
You know, for many years I just played, did movies in the daytime, and then I were on the stage in the night, so I learned to switch off. But I don't know in what sense you carry a character with you and in what sense it gets to you. I suppose sometimes the character is kind of close to you, so you mix it up. It comes with a trade, and I don't really know. Maybe I can see it clearer. You have a saying, you have to walk out of the woods to see and talk about trees. I don't know.
How do you balance real family life with the acting / extended family life that you have on productions?
Well, I had 160 shooting days abroad last year, and now I'm gonna work in Stockholm because of that, mainly.
160 is a lot.
Yeah, it's too much when you have small kids. Mine are 13, 7, and 4, so I'm gonna stay home much more now because I think that's. I want to hang around my kids more than a movie team.
How was your experience in Hollywood? Will you repeat it?
Yeah, well, my love is small drama movies, but if it's made in America, it doesn't matter. But Hollywood, what is Hollywood? It's a place, and I don't know, the big movie studios. I was fortunate to work with Peter Jackson, and he has a talent of, even though it's the biggest production on earth, he makes it feel kind of cozy anyway. I think that's why he shoots on New Zealand. He doesn't like the studio life in LA, I suppose. That's a strange place. And when you're in front of camera, it feels the same, even though it's 700 people behind the camera, or 15. Of course, the camera is the camera. But it was a special experience, and no, maybe it's not my cup of tea.
And why is that?
I want to be closer to the end result. I want to be part of the process, closer to the core of the process. But it was a nice experience, but that's why.
But theater is the main thing for you.
Well, I haven't been on stage since 2009. I've been shooting all the time. But yes, the roots of my trade is on the stage. Yeah.
What's your drive then for your day as an actor?
Yeah, because every night when the watch turns 7, I feel a relief. I ain't going up, but when I go up and have to go up because I'm playing, I feel really happy when it's over, and then you've been through something. It's a special love story with the audience, and it's happening now. I used to say it's only 3 hours that I have total control over during the 24, but that was then. Now I tend to have control over the 24 hours as well, more or less. But still, it's a love story with the stage, love and hate.
When do you hate it?
Oh, well, it's scary, you know. You can, if you're not good, you're really not good, and everybody can see it. Here they can save you in the editing room.
Even if you do it all the time, is acting still scary?
Yeah, well, it can get worse, you know. There's no young actor that gets stage fright. There's only old actors that have been working a while that get... You're scared for your own eyes and your own reputation when you're not doing it for real and stuff, you know. You have to work in a true way, in a true sense to yourself and your goose. And it's hard, but it's lovely as well.
So do you ever feel tired of acting as a job?
No, well, then you can relate to the fact that you can pick up your kids after work and you shoot it in Stockholm and you can laugh all the way to the bank and you can give an old big audience what they want to. And there's a happiness in that as well.
There's no artistic happiness.
Well, not much. But every job doesn't have to. It's a job as well. Sometimes you go to job and sometimes you go to art.
So tell me, how many movies are good out of all these job movies?
65 movies, 7 are good. Really good. It's not that bad.
And finally, when you go back to working, is it going to be art or job?
Job.
Thank you very much to Mikael Presbrandt. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.